The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
We're talking about podcasts. We're talking about Spacey Movie Podcast.
It's Jordan and it's Two Chunks. And I want to be so clear. It's not a Spacey Movie Podcast. It's a space movie podcast.
Yeah, space-ish, like a space-esque.
One of the more popular book genres right now is Spacey books. I don't know what it means. Oh, I just know a lot of people are reading Spacey books.
Because of Project Hail Mary.
It's like Spacey, Gosling like Arrival, Project Hail Mary, you know, those kinds of things. But it's not, there's no Kevin here. I do want to, care for
it's actually only Ryan
of extracurricular activity.
It's Project Hail Mary with Gosling, First Man with Gosling. He probably been to space a couple of other times. Was he ever an astronaut? Was he ever a Ken astronaut? Maybe he was Ken, space Ken.
I think in Crazy Stupid Love, he talked about the moon one time. So we'll count that.
I'm almost positive that Baby Driver has nothing to do with space.
Almost positive is never quite good enough for us, unfortunately. And it's Two Chunks, and I'm here.
I'm Doge, and today's punchline is you rock it.
What happens when your shuttle gets a bad haircut?
You rock it. You have no choice. You rock it.
It's definitely going to be space themed, but I'm going to go another route.
Oh,
yeah.
What do you do when you bet on scissors to lose?
Yes.
You rock it. Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's me and I'm Carter. That's my guess.
That's pretty good. Gage, you want a hand on the ball?
What do you do when you're an astronaut and your sleeves get pulled off?
You rock it.
Yeah,
you rock it. You let the space guns out. How do you get an astronaut's baby to fall asleep?
That's actually very good.
That's fun.
You rock it. That's fun.
And I'm Gage.
It's a rare dub from the old joke website. That's a pretty good one.
What is the name of the website again? Punchlines.com?
Don't tell people. Then they can get it.
Oh, it's a different joke. It's a different website every week.
Oh, I love that about
every week. This one's from Wattpad.
Keep it fresh.
I visited a parent, upparent.com, funny jokes for kids many times. Those are user submitted. But since it's space, like I'm not really interested in amateur stuff. I want the pro.
Yeah.
I want somebody who's like studied this kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's space right now because, you know, Project Hail Mary, which I've seen. Doge, have you seen it yet? Has anyone else seen that?
I have not seen it yet.
I saw it. I loved it.
Jordan saw it.
I loved it.
Loved it. I saw it. I loved it. As I was, you know.
I quiet, dude.
That's a big deal. That's going to make bookoos of cash. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's on the big screen. Get to see it on IMAX. Going to make a lot of money. And then, you know, you see trailers for things like Dune 3 and Disclosure Day. And it feels like we've got some big
Disclosure Day, dude. I'm so pumped for that movie.
Space movies coming out, dude.
Yeah,
we've got some big space movies coming out.
It's space time.
And, you know, if you wanted to include Super Mario Galaxy, that's going to make $1 billion, too.
Sure,
so
that's got space.
It's out there in space.
Galaxy for nothing.
For a long time, space has been super popular content for the movies. And
the subreddits that the subreddits that I read often that I follow would say that this is because the government is preparing to roll out actual disclosure of extraterrestrials.
I've seen people talk
about that. Primed for it.
Yeah.
They're normalizing.
Those pages are the reason that I have read it on my phone, yeah. By the way. If you've never taken a cruise through the aliens page or the UFOs page and you want to know what's really happening in the world, what the actual truth of the news is,
hey,
that's a great source.
I like the subreddits so that there's people falling down when they're
creative people.
Disclosure Day has a pretty exciting cast. I love Coleman Domingo. I would say I'm in the top 5% of Coleman Domingo fans.
Wow.
I think a lot
every
of
single one of Spielberg's
on
best
Emily
movies
Blunt,
has phenomenal. Aliens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you Jurassic say every Park, one of
Jaws?
Hook.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Jurassic yes. Park.
What are fish if not
I'm confused.
Aliens.
Why are you confused?
What are fish if not aliens?
Is this you telling me that you think that Peter Pan is an alien? Because that's
second star to the right, straight until morning. That's Alpha Centauri. That's the first
you know
planet
what?
In the habitable zone
Peter
outside
Pan
of Alpha Centauri.
That is you know hilarious. What?
He was
Peter
for
Pan
that.
Is he an alien.
I've never prepared
thought
for that.
About it. But he's not taking you to Dreamland. He's taking you to Neverland, which is in space.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
It's an approximately Earth-sized planet.
Wait,
in the
how do you make, Jurassic,
how do they have
how do you make Jurassic Park work, though? It's not a space movie.
Dinosaurs, aliens.
Oh, simple. Yeah. Dinosaurs ended with asteroid, but also began with asteroid.
I was out, but I'm
oh,
back
great.
In. It was an egg. The first asteroid was just a big egg.
Yeah. Big egg. And the first dinosaur hatched out of it.
Egg.
It was King Ghidorah. Obviously, it was King Ghidorah.
Amazing.
King Ghidorah.
We have, it's also the time for March Madness. I don't know if you've heard of that one. If you're a Two Chunks person, nope. March Madness probably didn't mean as much to you as Spring Delirium. And of course, Spring Delirium is here.
Why didn't you say so?
And we chose to do something that we're going to call Not Our Planet. But I have for you 64 films over the history of film that have either featured us going out and experiencing space, heading out, leaving the planet to go experience new things, or someone coming to visit us from somewhere else.
I like it pronounced more like Not Our Planet. Almost
not
like
our planet.
We're like, oh, sorry.
Today we come to talk about space.
Not Our Planet.
That's my
one of the best things.
I don't remember what he sounds like.
I like an impression.
I've never heard him talk, but that's what I do. That's my impression of him. I've never
hey,
heard his voice
it's me,
before.
Jenny Slate. I don't think I've heard her talk.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Yeah. I'm Marcel the Shell.
I have these 64 films for you, and we're going to go through the first round today, which means we got quite a few matchups. And so usually in the past, it's Jordan v. Doge, or sometimes they're working together. We did that through our sauces and our sidekicks and all sorts of stuff with Spring Delirium. And I would be the deciding factor there. We now have Gage, and I don't have to be. There is a part of me, though, and I would love to have some discussion because we've also live workshopped before because we'll have Survivor in the second. I don't want to call it the second half of this episode. Maybe in the final eighth of this episode, we'll talk Survivor for a little bit.
Yeah.
But how do y'all feel about me having, like, for the entire bracket, three bullets in the gun here that I can just override y'all's decision?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
No.
Two.
That's so much power for one man.
What, you can just be like, your votes don't matter.
Only ever twice.
Yeah,
two.
But if you save it for the end.
No, I couldn't do that. I think they should die. They should die before 16.
All right.
Yes,
I can only do
yeah,
it in 64 or 32.
Uh-huh. Two before 16.
Before the merge. Yeah.
Great.
I think I'm comfy with that.
Appreciate
you. Immunity idols.
And I would just request that Gage remember he's a guest in this house. So like, yeah, be respectful.
That's right.
Well,
don't
I like
we asked him to take his shoes off when he got here, but his shoes don't live here.
Don't let
him.
He
can't put them in the bedroom.
I'd like to point out that Carter brought me in so that he could get out of his least favorite role of being. Guys, we're all friends here.
Right.
We're all friends, right? We're all friends.
It's sure.
I know that you love honey mustard, and I know that you love sriracha sauce, but. At the end
salsa
of the day,
sauce.
We're boys.
Salsa sauce. Mustard sauce.
Mustard sauce.
Hey, shout out to Claude
sauce.
For helping with the bracket. Claude and I put this together. And I'm going to be reading from a bracket here. Y'all don't need to have yours up because there were multiple iterations. And so you're going to see some movies on here, I think, that we didn't see on the bracket I first sent you. So we're going to read through this. What Claude calls the Apollo region. Clever Claude. And I want to start with a number one Claude seed, region. Which is like the, you know, Kubrick, the like the OG kind of vibe for doing space movies that many of these other ones would say influenced them. And then also a kind of cult classic called Europa Report. But I have 2001 A Space Odyssey against the number 16 seed Europa Report.
Yeah.
I give a 3-2.
I've never seen either of these movies. Just
do it. Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's going to have to go to Space Odyssey.
But I would give Space Odyssey is like
the, as much as Europa Report rips, Space Odyssey is like the science fiction, the space movie.
Yep. I agree with that. It was in my mom's canon when I was a kid of movies that I had to see. And I liked this one as a kid.
Movie rules. Book is also awesome. The book is so good.
I believe that.
When I was putting this together with Claude, when Claude and I were working on this, it was very much a mix of critical acclaim, like legacy type space movies, and then also the ones that made lots of money. So that's why we'll see some things that show up later that you might think were boo-boo, but they made enough that they showed up here. And so
Jupiter Ascending
did not. next we have 8 against 9 seed Contact, Jodie Foster classic, against
Carl Sagan,
Moon. A lot of people who love Sam Rockwell say that
you
this
guys.
Is their favorite Sam Rockwell and what he should have you won an Oscar guys. For, except he won for 3 Billboards, which is also a wonderful character. Sam is one of my favorite actors out there. So Contact,
I think
Moon.
His performance in 3 Billboards is a lot better than his performance in Moon. But you guys know how much I love Moon. I think this movie rules.
I know how Professor much Lupin you no, reminded yourself you love Moon and were pretty confident you loved Moon. And then we're like, okay, I did love Moon. I remember that.
I like Moon.
It's a good movie. I like Moon. I think Moon moves forward for me.
I liked Contact, but I have no strong feelings about it whatsoever. And I liked I think Moon is a great philosophical existential sort of movie. So
I agree. I think Sam Rockwell is pretty much the only reason to watch Moon, but he's a good reason to watch Moon.
I think if you cast someone who can't emote very well,
that movie tanks.
Is a bad movie.
The whole time I was watching Mickey 17, I was thinking of Moon.
Yeah.
I don't think Mickey, whatever the novel is, Mickey 3 or whatever, it's a much smaller number. Mm-hmm. I don't think that novel, and I don't think that the movie, I think they both owe a debt to Moon.
Yeah,
sure.
Mickey
17
that,
doesn't show up on here. It's tough to get Bong Joon on there, but it's not on the...
Contact, by the way, book is also great. Carl Sagan, really great book.
Love, love, love. Next we have our first Spielberg. We're going to see a lot of him. Apollo 13. No, this is Ron Howard. My bad.
It is Ron Howard.
Ron Howard, Apollo 13 against The Right Stuff.
It's Apollo 13.
Yeah, I prefer Apollo 13 to The Right Stuff.
Yeah, not a question.
It certainly gets much more difficult for many of these matchups in our round of 32. So, but on this one, you would have seen Interstellar against Blade Runner. That felt really unfair in the first round.
Yeah, early on.
So Blade Runner is going to be in a different section. Sucks. We don't have to worry about that one. It is going to be Interstellar, though, our number 4 seed in this section of the bracket, against the James Bond movie that we actually go to space, Moonraker.
Sure.
Yeah.
Interstellar against Moonraker.
Interstellar's taking it.
Moonraker is a much better idea.
We'll do a quick 3-2-1. Okay, so Interstellar moves on. Next we have another Andy Weir flick, for those of you that like Project Hail Mary, The Martian against Hidden Figures.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie. The Martian against Hidden Figures, how do we feel? What are we doing?
I'm going to go The Martian here. I think it is.
I think I am too.
I think I just tend to lean more like sci-fi than like
historical
realism or history
historical
when it comes
science.
To
yeah.
Space movies. For that reason, Apollo 13 will get crushed by anything with any sort of fiction in it. You know what I mean?
Like, there you go.
The Martian is so much fun too. Like it is, it's a movie that I feel like I could take apart and look at each individual piece if I ever wanted to be like, how do I make a good movie? Mm-hmm. Like there is so much about that movie that is just like textbook perfect.
Yeah. It's a great movie.
And it's like, I haven't read the novel, but I understand the novel is pretty similar too.
It's just as good, honestly.
Yeah. It's just like, perfectly.
Novel's very much a journal, right? It's as if we're seeing.
Kind of, yeah. I'll say I agree that The Martian moves on. I do want to just say that Hidden Figures, if we're talking about movies that I think have impacted the culture, is a really significant movie. But if we're just talking about Space Boys.
Yeah, I think it's just space.
They
yeah,
don't even.
We're talking.
They don't even go to space.
Yeah, the yeah. whole movie's on Earth, actually. So DQ.
And I will say that the cast in that movie is phenomenal. Every yeah. single person destroys their role.
Next matchup, number 3 seed. This is a strong 3 seed here. Alien against Ad Astra.
Yeah, it's Alien for sure.
Come on.
Alien.
Yeah. Ad Astra was fine.
Yeah.
It was.
None of us has an Ad Astra tattoo.
Yeah, space Xenomorph against Space say. Monkey.
Because we should have made him use one of his bullets here.
Yeah. Oh my God. Just flush him out. Flush out my idol.
Hey, we've actually been talking. We're going to start an alliance.
Savage. You know, even that's the only reason I even brought it up. I was like, how far? Yeah,
I know that's why you brought it up.
No. Next we have Gravity. Sandra Bullock.
Oh, man.
Featuring George Clooney.
She actually didn't. It was a pretty gentle landing.
It was. Against Sunshine.
I have not seen Sunshine.
Sunshine's sort of the reverse Project Hail Mary.
Yes, it is. It has been very highly recommended for me and shows up in my algo, especially for some of the body horror type stuff that I've been watching for the last two or three. I'm talking about chunks of your skin falling off. Gravity against Sunshine.
Have not seen Sunshine. Gravity is unbelievably
good. Gravity's fantastic.
The best John Mayer song.
Yep. It's working against us, isn't it? Our next matchup, our first Star Wars
thing.
There's a handful of Star Wars in here. Can't have them all. But we do have Star Wars on New Hope, which is the number 2 seed in this bracket against First Man, Gosling biopic.
Oh, man. I loved
First Man's really good.
Did you guys, y'all saw First Man?
Mm-hmm.
I have seen it.
I have not.
I loved it. I thought it was great. Damien Chazelle, it was the last one that he did before Babylon, which basically I feel like a lot of folks were like, I don't think we'd want to let him do any more movies. Yeah. We didn't like that one very much.
I'll say that I think that my particular flavor of science fiction movie tends to not really mesh with like what is NASA up to sort of space movies. And so I might be a little bit biased here, but I'm going Star Wars A New Hope.
Yeah, you don't have to defend picking Star Wars. Yeah. Of course it's Star Wars.
I just think that it's going to be really obvious down the line, like, oh, this guy does not like NASA.
That wraps up.
It's because you hate Houston.
Yeah,
that's
got to
be it.
Houston, we have a problem, and it's you.
I just read that apparently at the beginning of the First Man movie project, Clint Eastwood was supposed to direct it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it's probably much better because he didn't. Yeah.
It's halftime America. That's what I think of every time I think of Clint Eastwood when he predicted that the U.S. would be dissolved in like 2070 or something based on that math.
Halftime. Wraps up the first round of the Apollo division. So this means that the next round for you guys, which peek behind the curtain is later, probably in an hour or so. So just go ahead and get your hearts ready for that. 2001 A Space Odyssey against Moon. Apollo 13 against Interstellar. The Martian against Alien. And Gravity against Star Wars A New Hope.
I know every answer already.
Yeah, I know.
We
I
move know on. Favorites. To the galaxy region, another Star Wars, the number 1 seed down here in the galaxy, Empire Strikes Back against Forbidden Planet, classic TV show.
Oh
yeah, fun. Definitely Empire Strikes Back.
Empire Strikes Back. Forbidden Planet's a ton of fun, but Empire Strikes Back for sure.
This matchup was highlighted in all of, as soon as the seedings happened, this was kind of like all of the major channels and streaming platforms were trying to get this matchup live.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
As an example of a blowout?
No. Denis Villeneuve's
This next matchup you mean, Apollo.
2021.
Yes. Yeah.
And also Denis Villeneuve's Dune Part 2. You have to pick.
I mean, man. I know my answer.
Yeah, I don't have to think hard about this.
I don't either.
I think Part 2 for me.
Yeah, it's Part 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No question for me.
How fun. Wow.
I'll say the source material plays a pretty big role in that, too.
I'm actually...
Guys, I'm so excited for Dune 3.
Dune.
It looks amazing.
Yeah. Dune.
As I'm preparing for Dune Part 3, what I was going to say is I'm honestly like probably not even going to watch Part 1 again. I'm probably just going to watch Part 2.
I think Part 2 is so much
better than Part 1.
I agree with that. Watch
Part 1.
And I like Part 1.
I think mixed feelings.
This is not a hot take on this podcast. I think if Dune 3 comes out and it is even as good as Dune 1, like if Dune 2 is still the high watermark for this series, this takes its place with Star Wars and Lord of the Rings in terms of like the perfect like cinematic trilogy experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty wonderful.
I can't believe how good it is.
Pretty wonderful.
I can't believe how excited I am.
Looks like Denis doing some trailer looks clever artistic liberties too for some stuff that's pretty bonkers in the
as
in
always,
Dune Messiah.
As always. We've talked so much about the infrared shots on Austin Butler's Coliseum planet. But the absolute balls to just be like, oh, nope, we actually only shot it this way. We can't go back and add color. Sorry, guys.
I love him so much. Yeah. I saw an interview where he was talking about the language supervisors that they have on set, that they would get a shot perfect. And then a language supervisor would come up and be like, hey, Denis, we got to reshoot. That was wrong. And he'd be like, it's a made up language. Can't we just fudge it? And they would be like, no. And he'd have to be like, this is why I paid them. Okay, run it back. Like he's so like intense about everything. Oh, I love it.
That's so good. Next we have, I do believe, so the Marvel Cinematic Universe ended up having a ton of space. But we didn't really go there.
In my interest, bazinga.
We didn't really go there until we got Guardians of the Galaxy. So that's why it shows up here as our only MCU. Okay. But Guardians of the Galaxy against Serenity. I've never seen that.
Oh, it's fun.
Guardians. Yeah, it's Guardians.
It's definitely Guardians.
Yeah, I think it's Guardians. And I think one is probably my least favorite of the trilogy, but I still think it
I like it more than two for sure.
I could have put Ragnarok in here, but I think once we start just going down the whole MCU, I don't think when
all
people
of it's
are thinking
space.
Yeah. Next we have Arrival against Silent Running.
I don't even know what that is.
Denis Villeneuve. We were just talking about him. Arrival is
got it with the aliens. Yes, I remember. Yeah. Now. I remember now. No, what is Silent Running?
Silent Running. 1972 American science fiction film, the directorial debut of Douglas Trumbull.
Who we all know and love.
Trumbullhead.
All forests on Earth have become extinct from careless environmental exploitation.
Okay, it's Arrival. I mean, it was going to be Arrival for me no matter what in this matchup, but yeah, it's Arrival.
This is basically Fern Gully 2.
I'll watch Silent Running. This is my exact flavor. I'll watch Silent Running. Movies? I love like 70s and 80s one-off sci-fi movies.
Yes. Movies that are basically Fern Gully are another entire category of sci-fi movies.
That's next year's Spring Delirium.
Yeah. Okay, so
64
here,
Fern Gully clones.
Fern Gully clones. Train Dreams. Okay, so here is our actual first Spielberg. I just knew that there was like deforestation in Train Dreams. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's cool because the trees are upside down on the poster, but Joel Edgerton's right side up on the poster.
It burns up. You know, I don't know.
It's like a tattoo kind of.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's like you'd see it on Pinterest and save it to a board that's like inspiring.
Close Encounters, the third kind.
Sure.
Against Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, it's Close Encounters.
Yeah.
Close Encounters.
Close Encounters is...
Move on. Galaxy Quest, I don't want to eulogize really a Tim Allen movie.
Well,
Galaxy Quest is so great. Close Encounters rules.
Yeah.
Do you know what's crazy? They find that World War II plane at the beginning of Close Encounters. It is more temporally interesting, as in more time has passed, if we were to find a mint condition film reel of Close Encounters of the Third Kind that is farther in the past to us than that World War II plane is to them in Close Encounters.
I forgot that Sam Rockwell is also in Galaxy Quest.
He is.
A little bit of everywhere.
Next we have E.T., the extraterrestrial. This matchup is very much like we're treating aliens. It's a much different relationship. E.T., the extraterrestrial against Independence Day. In one, you know, in one of them, Will Smith thought that the alien was Chris Rock.
Yeah. And the other one, Elliot's like, E.T., welcome to Earth.
Yeah, welcome, man. E.T. Or Independence Day?
Yeah, it's E.T.
E.T.
I like Independence Day, actually. I think it's a pretty fun movie, but E.T.
I'm sad to see Independence Day go, but yeah,
this early, it feels too early for Independence Day,
but this is how March Madness works, dude.
Yeah, this this matchup's pretty tough, too, I think, personally. WALL-E against District 9.
District 9.
I agree with you. I thought that I was going to be, I thought that this was going to be where I took my stand, but yeah.
No, District 9 is
District 9
so
rips.
District 9 is so good. I can't believe how much we've agreed on everything.
Yeah, I know. It's been antsy so far.
When next I looked at the bracket, this is the one that I circled. Like, we're going to argue about this.
I think it is an underrated movie.
But
it's not.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite.
Wall-E, I think Wall-E skews way more adult than kid. And when I watched it, I was like at the very tail end of the kid category.
No,
and
that's so true.
It like totally sailed over my head the first time I watched it.
Aliens. Classic James Cameron always coming in and doing something different and making it his own thing vibe, you know, against Life.
Ooh, the Gyllenhaal, where they find the basically the Venom symbiote in space, the little guy that lives in
Ryan
the eyeball.
Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yep.
2-seed against the 15.
It's going to be Aliens.
Yeah, it's Aliens for me too. I haven't seen Life and I really like Aliens, so.
Aliens is so good.
Hard for me to imagine.
Fun. It's worth the watch.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's just kind of the vibe of a space movie in general. It's like, it'll be fun to look at once.
I'm never, like, I'll watch a 6 out of 10, like, space sci-fi movie. Yeah. If there's a cool alien in it and it's a 6 out of 10, I feel the same way. It's like a Godzilla movie.
It
doesn't have to be awesome.
Creature features of any kind, I feel like if the monster design is cool, I'll watch it, even if the movie sucks.
If the setting is in space, I'm in. If the setting is Earth and space is only theoretical, I'm out.
What if it's Earth and space comes to Earth, like an alien?
I'm cool with that.
Cool. Cloverfield.
Oh, Cloverfield rips.
I like Mac and Me.
Mac and Me. There's just so many. He's got his list up. It's a tab.
I'm running my own bracket over here.
After the Galaxy Region's first round, that means the second round of matchups, that round of 32, will be Empire Strikes Back against Dune Part 2. Guardians of the Galaxy against Arrival. Close Encounters against E.T. Sorry, Doge.
Oh and, my gosh.
District 9 against Aliens.
is good.
Next, we're in the Cosmos. That's a tough.
It's
pretty
gnarly.
That's pretty gnarly.
That's tough.
Cosmos Region. We start with the number one seed, Star Trek II Wrath of Khan. Mm-hmm. Again.
This is the Cumberbatch one.
No,
right? Star Trek Into Darkness, which is a loose retelling of Star Trek II Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, Wrath of Khan is like...
God. Ricardo Montalban. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Classic. Against Treasure Planet.
Done.
Number 16.
Let's go. Treasure Planet.
Really?
Yeah. 100. First of all, never seen Wrath of Khan. Not a Star Trek head. Treasure Planet rules. I'm done. That's it.
Treasure Planet is the best space movie for kids.
That's probably true.
It's not close for me. It is a perfect kids movie. And it came in an era where it didn't get... the attention that it deserves.
Oh.
Doge is wishing he had one of those bullets.
This is the reaction that I've not seen.
Just to buy it one more round if you want, but it's dying next time.
Who, me?
Yeah, if you want to use
really
your
own. There's always upsets.
No, we're going to be really bitter about it.
I can let that happen. I'm sorry, Doge. Doge would have picked Wrath of Khan. Do you need a soap?
I think what I pick doesn't matter.
You want to eulogize Wrath of Khan?
I'm outvoted.
Like, nobody cares.
Wrath of Khan absolutely rules, and it is a classic in the genre. It is a textbook example of like, this is what a Star Trek movie can and should be. And I think in particular, if you watch The Wrath of Khan and you watch Star Trek Into Darkness and you notice the ways in which they're different, you will begin to understand why the J.J. Abrams Star Treks are great fiction movies and not good Star Trek movies. Yeah. And you will begin to understand why J.J. Abrams never had a shot at making a good Star Wars, because it is all crust and no filling on a J.J. Abrams pie. Treasure Planet moves on.
Which is so funny because I feel like Super 8 works really well for that reason.
Super 8 works really well because all it has to be is crust.
Yeah.
All we're trying to do is make a Spielberg movie.
Yeah.
And like the style of the movie is the text of the movie, which is why it's great. Super 8 is awesome. Super 8.
That's interesting. Yeah, I've never been a big Star Trek guy in general. I didn't grow up watching it or anything. And so I've never seen like OG Wrath of Khan. So it had no chance for me personally to get my vote.
Star Trek has always been worth
a visit as an adult. I think like it is, the show itself is super, super fun. And like from a creative standpoint of like the limitations that you're working with on CBS in the 60s is unbelievable what we're able to do. How ambitious Roddenberry was with this show. How committed he was to pushing like... breaking through social barriers. Like, you know, the first interracial kiss in American television was on Star Trek. It was Shatner's idea. And then picking up that in this picking up the story of the show after the success of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this can actually work on the big screen. How do we translate this small screen CBS experience massive. With continuity to a theatrical experience using what we've learned from and been inspired by in Star Wars is really, maybe it's more intellectually interesting than it is like entertaining wall to wall, a yeah. thrill ride, but yeah, it's fun. Sense.
It's incredible.
It's interesting to think just about that era of sci-fi. That if someone had only seen like the first two Planet of the Apes like 80s movies, they'd be like, "How come this isn't on our bracket?"
Yeah. Next, we have two absolutely like mind-bendy, terrifying movies, and one of them is at the top of my list because I haven't seen it, so to watch, but I've heard a lot about it. It's been in my algo recently. Event Horizon. This is the one I haven't seen. Mm-hmm. Against Annihilation.
I also haven't seen Event Horizon, and it's also on a pretty short list of movies yeah. I'd like to watch.
Event Horizon against Annihilation.
I sort of feel like Annihilation would take it from me regardless.
I've seen both. I take Annihilation. That said, like, I mean, we've already said it. Event Horizon is worth your time.
Next we have...
I've said it a million times, the book for Annihilation also rules that yeah. entire...
They're so different too. Like, it's one of the rare yeah. instances where I would say the book does not really spoil the movie and the movie does not really spoil the book. Like, they're such that's different stories. Yeah.
I read and they it both last work. Summer at...
Oh, you did?
At Doja's recommendation. We were at a bookstore yeah. and you were like, read this. And so I did, and I watched the movie and it was a really enjoyable mm-hmm. Back-to-back experience.
Yeah, I'm going to take stuff. This minute to soapbox and platform Jeff Vandermeer. Please read Jeff Vandermeer. He wrote Annihilation, wrote the Area X stuff. He's also written other things like Born and Dead Astronauts. And he is a fantastic cli-fi writer, science fiction with a heavy emphasis on unknowable or ununderstandable climate.
Yeah, he really yeah. pioneered the like sci-fi mushroom.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
I guess mushrooms feels, probably pioneered the sci-fi mushroom connection.
Possibly. Possibly. 2009.
Scavenger's Reign vibes with the like, I don't understand this planet or this ecosystem.
Cool. 2009 Star Trek. This is when we got back into it. We just referenced this against Space Cowboys, which is kind of like the Wild Hogs of space. A little
space
bit.
Space Cowboys. Directed by Clint Eastwood, starring Eastwood, Tommy Lee Jones, Donald Sutherland, and James Garner.
Well, congrats, Star Trek. You're getting a bye.
Yep. Wow. Yeah.
Next up. Yeah. Corbin Dallas Multipass, Fifth Element, against The Black Hole.
You did this on purpose. I don't even know what that is. Yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Fifth Element. You don't know about The Black Hole?
Mm-mm.
From 1979?
Yeah.
You guys haven't watched that?
Really?
No, yeah,
I circled this one on my bracket. I thought this was much closer. All right, well, Fifth Element moves on.
Yeah, Fifth Element, for sure.
Next, we have a matchup that neither of these were on the original bracket when I talked to Claude. And I said, Claude, I'm sorry. I need to have these here.
It's almost like
number six
Claude's
seed, Starship Troopers.
Okay.
Against.
I'm doing my part.
Nope.
Oh, it's Nope.
Ooh, oh, man.
Nope rules.
Nope. It's yeah. Nope.
I also think Nope, coming out of the theater, I feel like it was, there was a lot of conflicting opinions about it, about at least in comparison to other Peele movies. But Nope is so, so
good. It's wonderful. I feel like Us and Nope don't really get the attention they deserve. I feel like they get overshadowed by Get Out.
I also,
which is
yeah, because I
phenomenal.
Think people
also,
just wanted
so
him
good.
To
yeah.
do the exact same thing yep. over and yep. over and over again. And he's not like that.
In my opinion, he has proven to be a pretty multifaceted director.
Yeah.
Like, he's yeah. got a lot of tools in his toolbox.
Part of that gets me so excited to see Denis do James Bond. Because I'm like, wait, what? Because he's not a one yeah. trick, but he has mm-hmm. had a lane yeah. that he's absolutely done so well in. Destroyed. Mm-hmm. So, next up we have...
As long as it doesn't delay his Rendezvous with Rama adaptation,
yes,
I'll be okay with that.
We Bond. Have... Star War against Star War. Had to do this with how many entries that we've got. A bit of the old against some of the new. I thought this would be really interesting. How about Return of the Jedi mm-hmm. against Revenge of the Sith?
Can I say
crazy?
Something?
Can I say something crazy, dude?
It's Revenge of the Sith, dude.
Revenge of the Sith, yeah.
I love Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, for my own good, I didn't put Phantom Menace on here. Maybe it should have been.
No, it shouldn't have. Yeah, nah. Revenge of the Sith is just maybe Star Wars at its most fun.
I think Revenge of the Sith is the prequel that is the closest to being good. Mm. And in some ways, that is like really infuriating to watch because it's like, oh, you're almost there. Mm-hmm. And in other ways, it's like, oh, this is what he was aiming for. Mm. Yeah, I can actually see. Because like,
it was the closest to the actual transition into the old.
Yes, we're close enough that right I can there. See like yeah. the type of political story Lucas was trying and not really succeeding at telling.
Yeah. Plus, like, I hate you.
So what if I told you that there was a movie that Lucas tried and succeeded to pull off? It was Return of the Jedi.
Hey, when was the last time you watched Return of the Jedi?
Thank you, Gage.
Maybe like 3 years ago.
Okay. As an adult, it feels like a significant detour to say we're going to go to Jabba's desert party and then we're going to go teddy bear land and then we're going to actually resume our story again.
I think Empire works so much better than Return for that reason.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Empire yeah, is a lot I agree focused. With that.
Iconic. Next. Oh, go ahead.
But his refusal to kill off Han Solo bloats the first half of that movie with the whole little like rescue Han mission.
Counterpoint, if they're not running around, we never meet Ewoks. And if we don't meet Ewoks, what's the point?
That's fair. Here's what I'll say. Return of the Jedi is a better movie than Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
I think they're of equivalent quality.
I think that's also a fair opinion. But to me, I think Return of the Jedi is a better movie. I'd sit down and watch Revenge of the Sith right now.
Yeah.
Without watching the two before it. And I wouldn't watch Return of the Jedi unless it was in a marathon.
No, that's
sitting down right now, pushing play on Revenge of the Sith and seeing that opening space battle.
Yeah, it's awesome, dude.
It's pretty awesome, dude.
That would go down.
The Grievous space battle?
Yeah. Yeah,
the falling battle or whatever, the ship that was.
Yep.
I think Revenge of the Sith is like our generation's Saturday afternoon sort of movie. That's like,
that's fair.
This is all fair. Basically no substance, all cool.
It's all vibes.
Are we in the same generation, would you say?
I'm at the very tail end or beginning of millennials and Gen Z. So, right. Yeah.
I'm in my own.
Makes sense, I guess, Phantom.
Menace, 94 was its own.
Next, we have Total Recall, recent Saturday afternoon entry against Prometheus. Dude. Very underrated, I think.
Oh, dude, I love Total Recall.
It's Total Recall for me. Yeah,
also, maybe one of the only movies ever.
Prometheus is great, by the way. I would watch that right now.
I love Prometheus. I was going to vote Prometheus.
Yeah, you can.
Recall gets a weird shout out from SNL like 40 years after it was made by a couple. Quado and Quaid sketches.
Oh, yes. Bro, what a wild, wild movie. That's his most wild movie ever.
I think Arnold's
the dream
Arnold has grown to of Arnold.
Yes, dude. Yeah. Arnold has picked up the Total Recall, put it on his shoulders for me. It stands Arnie head and shoulders ahead of Prometheus for me.
Yeah,
and
I'm going to say Prometheus. I think that's a big Prometheus is a... I like Prometheus better as a space movie.
Same.
I'm probably going to go off of this to watch Total Recall. I think.
When she has to do the surgery on herself in Prometheus.
Yes, dude.
Yeah. No, that is...
And Fassbender's performance as David in that movie is so pretty disaffected, phenomenal. Like totally inhuman is unbelievably good.
Yep.
And also Arnold's performance in Total Recall is really, really good. He totally transforms.
I couldn't have been anybody else.
It couldn't have been anybody else. The final matchup in the Cosmos region. We have Avatar.
Sure.
Against.
Yeah.
Heard of it.
Zathura.
Space Jumanji.
Come on, dude.
That's funny.
Avatar.
The Last Airbender? I'm just kidding. We're talking blue people.
Avatar moves on. That means our next round in the Cosmos region. And then we can, before we do that last round, we can jump to some shout outs maybe. Does it feel like a good time for that, Jordan?
We'll do it. We'll do it after the whole thing.
Oh, that's so nice. Treasure Planet against Annihilation. Star Trek 2009 against The Fifth Element. Nope against Star Wars Revenge of the Sith. And then Total Recall against Avatar. Oh man, I have learned so much about myself is to do things for me and do what I want. It's going to be so hard for me not to burn one of my two shots here just to save one of my friends. The Nebula region, our final region, and then we'll be done with these first matchups. Good job, everyone, so far. This is one, this is part of how a lot of things dominoed a bit, because if you remember, we would have had Interstellar against Blade Runner. Blade Runner is not a number 4 seed to me. Is that, no, they had him at a number 13 seed. That's bonkers to me.
It's bonkers to me
for one of my favorite directors. And I actually have Blade Runner over here as a number 1 seed in the Nebula region against The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
This is Ridley Scott Blade Runner.
Tears in the Rain.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Next we have...
Both books are awesome.
Yep, agreed.
Space Jam against John Carter.
Oh, dang, dude.
I'm going to plant my flag on Space Jam and walk away. I think it's Space Jam for me. I think it's Space Jam for me.
I think it's John Carter.
Oh, no.
Gage?
Did you see... You saw John Carter.
We're talking about the 2012 one. Or the...
Yeah, Taylor Kitsch, Willem Dafoe.
Yes. And I have seen Space Jam.
Have you seen... have you seen Space Jam before?
Michael Jordan, Bugs Bunny.
Are we talking about stuff? Yeah.
Are we talking about the LeBron one? The one with LeBron?
No.
Oh, and it has the White Walkers from Game of Thrones in it too, probably. There's all the Warner Brothers guys in it.
I think I'm taking John Carter.
Wow.
I think
this,
it's
yes.
John Carter moves on. That hurts.
Bro, that movie is legitimately good.
That is a totally fun movie.
It is of the same quality as like any of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies that were coming out at the same time.
I think it's Revenge of the Sith. Like I think it's that sort of level.
Absolutely.
Of like,
I think it is a textbook example of how not to market a movie. Yep.
Also,
Disney
absolutely marketed that completely incorrectly. The number one biggest mistake is that weird little dog thing. There were no toys of that. And it's like, come on. An 8-year-old would love toy of that weird little dog thing. Come on.
I think that's my reservation for whether Dune will be like a Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter sort of trilogy. Is like, I'm really curious to see what the youths will think about this in like 10 years. Because I don't know if I see a ton of... Well, cultural impact makes a pretty big deal. What Lord of the Rings did is introduce a bunch of people back to fantasy.
I think you're up against the fact that movies have been replaced by more short form entertainment as the dominant form of visual media.
Well, I see what you're saying, but I just don't know if Dune has the impact on the entire culture in the same way the other ones do.
I think Dune might be the most legitimately well-made future cult classic of all time.
Because
it's like you don't get to call your shot on those things because it doesn't get to be a cult classic until later, which a lot of people's definitions of that is just it didn't make a lot when it first came out. And it has this massive resurgence after. But there's just too many smart people in the world that love movies. Dune has been... All of the big names, James Cameron, all of Ridley Scott, everybody is kind of like, why is Dune not getting nominated?
Not winning every award.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, this is a movie.
That's completely fair.
Can I potentially dangle our podcast over a precarious conversational topic in the zeitgeist right now and just say that this is not speak for two chunks and a hunk's opinions. This only reflects the opinions of the one stating it. I don't care if Timothy Chalamet thinks ballet is boring. Move on. Who cares, dude?
Yeah, for sure.
The conversation where people are so upset. It's like, are you going to the ballet, dude?
Yeah.
Who cares?
I read something
It's
about
okay
that,
if you think
that?
Ballet is important. It's fine if you think ballet is important.
Yeah. I don't care what Chalamet thinks about many things. I care what Chalamet thinks about how he should say this line as John Dune in the Dune movies.
John Dune.
I think that as
what about Chalamet gave you Brainiac vibes? Like he's not a culture guy.
His haircut gives me Brainiac vibes.
Let's just switch the careers in terms of the generations that they had them. Let's switch Leo DiCaprio and Timmy. They would be treated the same way.
I think
the Academy, for some reason in all of this, feels like now is the time to award humility. Not that Michael B. Jordan shouldn't have won what he did, but they don't like... But then what's so wild too is that Adrian Brody won multiple times and he's an ass. Yeah. He's an absolute awful person.
I think the strange part of this conversation is more so about... Because historically I've been somebody who's lower on Timothy Chalamet than I think like not the consensus, but like the loudest opinion in the room being that Timothy Chalamet is like the best thing on earth.
I don't think that.
Which, I think he's like, a good actor. I just don't think he's a great actor.
I think that this year, it is a really strange argument to be like, Timothée Chalamet should have won the Oscar over Michael B. Jordan. Timothée Chalamet has had much better performances than he had in Marty Supreme.
Than Ping Pong Boy?
But again, like I said, as somebody who's been lower on him, it has been strange to see people freaking out about the ballet thing.
That's my main thing here is like, look, I get it if you're offended by that. And if you're like, I think ballet is really important. It goes well beyond just the art of ballet itself. It's an opera. I think if you feel the same way about opera, I think that's totally fine and valid. Yeah. I think that those are valuable art forms too. I don't care an iota if Timothée Chalamet thinks those are important.
A lot of people who just want to be a part of the tribe that you just want to be cool, so you're hating Timmy, kind of.
Yeah, and also it's like if you just rewind 20 seconds, the point he's making is he is nervous that movies are about to go the way of ballet and opera, which is that culturally they're not as significant, which is unequivocally true. You can't tell me opera and ballet play as big of a role today as they used to. That's what he's worried about.
I appreciate you spending some time for this combo. We do need
to. It's just driving me. I feel like it's still coming up on my algorithm, and it's like, how are we still on this?
No, it's whack. I agree with you.
Next, we have The Thing.
Yep.
Against Ender's Game.
Yep.
The Thing.
The Thing.
great book. Thing. Horrible adaptation of Ender's Game.
Yeah. I never saw it.
Yeah.
My God, dude. I was about to. Next, we have Deep Impact against Avatar Way of Water.
I have seen Deep Impact one time, and I think it's a bad movie. That said, I think Way of Water
I dare you to say this.
It's Way of Water.
Thank you. Way of Water, because it's good.
Yeah, sure. Way of Water is too long, but that middle chunk
How
is
on earth
so
are there
cool.
two Avatar movies
that are in too this long?
There's three.
No.
There's three.
In this bracket. In Spring Delirium, how did Avatar earn two
Because
spots
I thought
here?
I could spend this small percentage to tell Doge how much I appreciate his opinions. That's the least I can do.
Because they're good.
For a man who I have seen stomped for the last 8 years.
I don't know if I'd say they're roller coasters, but they are enjoyable. Oh, they are literal. You mean literally, not like...
Next,
they have the entertainment and intellectual value of a trip on the Titan at Six Flags.
If the Titan was 3.5 hours long.
No.
Because you know how everybody rides a roller coaster and is like, that was too long.
There's literally not a single twist in Avatar.
Exactly.
It's not
the next one we have is Armageddon against Spaceballs.
Comedy's pretty underrepresented in this.
Spaceballs.
Comedy's pretty underrepresented in this whole tournament.
Sure. In March Madness, though, you don't get to be like, oh, well, the SEC is pretty underrepresented. We're going to let y'all win. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is about
you're right. We shouldn't discuss. You're right. Let's just move on. It's Spaceballs.
Yeah, it is Spaceballs.
Armageddon, man.
If only Armageddon had been where Deep Impact was, then Armageddon could have moved on.
Yeah. Oh, well, you are.
Sorry, Ben Affleck.
Sorry, Ben, dude. Y'all are so in love in that movie. I watched it recently.
Get lost.
Him and Liv Tyler are so
Animal Crackers.
In love in that movie.
Animal Crackers on the Tommy. No,
that was a sweet moment, wasn't it?
Leaving on a jet plane.
Predator against Apollo 18.
Predator.
Yeah, Predator.
Arnie, moving on. Here's one I added. Blade Runner 2049. That was not something Claude said should be on here because I don't think it had a ton of acclaim or made a lot of money. But boy, it's a great movie, I think. Mm-hmm. Blade Runner 2049 against Elysium. Another.
For me, it's Blade Runner 2049.
2049.
Yep.
Great. Although Elysium is great.
It really doesn't look like it would be great, but I will listen to you if you say that it is.
I like Neil Blomkamp a lot. He did District 9 and then Elysium and then Chappie. And Elysium and Chappie got extremely poor reviews. And I thought they were a lot of fun.
Yeah. Our final matchup of the Nebula region. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story against Passengers.
Rogue One.
This happened.
Passengers with Chris Pratt.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Horrible.
I was like, okay, Claude.
Yep.
Pratt.
I'm already upset that there's one Chris Pratt in this bracket, so we'll go ahead and move on.
Yeah.
Rogue One is legitimately good.
It's wonderful.
Oh, yeah, Rogue One is great.
That means our Nebula region matchups for that round of 32 will be Blade Runner against John Carter, The Thing against Avatar Way of Water, Spaceballs against Predator, easy, and Blade Runner 2049 against Rogue One, A Star Wars Story.
Okay.
Interesting.
The only one of these brackets that's difficult for me is that second one. Second one's going to be a tough one. I think I know the regions are for all the rest of them. Yeah.
Yep, I agree.
And so we can afford snacks and drinks to refuel before next week's round. We
should
go to
use the moon's gravity to slingshot into shout announcements.
Whoa.
Wow, 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 indeed. Carter bringing us into shout announcements with a yawn. That's how excited he is for these upcoming shout outs and announcements. Listen up, y'all, because this is it. The beat that I'm laying is delicious because it is about Discord. Make sure if you like sort of our flavor, our sort of whole thing, if you like how Fergalicious we are, get in Discord. Jump on Patreon. Get in there. We talk about books.
You can be Fergalicious.
You don't have to admire from a distance. You can get on in here and be Fergalicious too. So make sure you do that.
We've been talking as a group, the four of us, and we've been thinking about how Fergalicious it would be if you took a listen to Imagine Dungeons. It's our actual play D&D podcast. Mm-hmm. Gage is here right now with us. If you like to listen to him talk, he does it a lot more on Imagine Dungeons.
Or a lot less, depending on the day.
Or a lot less, depending on the day and the scene. Our most recent episode, we infiltrated a fraternity party at a university, and it is my favorite episode of our D&D podcast.
It's probably mine too.
It's so
far. We would love it if you took a listen. You can find that wherever you find podcasts. Imagine Dungeons. Type that into Spotify or Apple Podcasts, or head to imaginedungeons.pod. ImagineDungeonsPod.com, not .pod.
Imagine.dungeon.
I don't think Imagine Dungeons. Can you get a .pod? If you can, I need to buy it.
Do we even have a single cookie on our website?
Chocolate
just
chip.
Just a snickerdoodle, I think.
Nice.
Just a doodle.
Let's go back to the show. We're back to the show, and what if I told you you could watch Zach Bryan do stuff for 20 minutes?
Brown.
Does that sound good to you?
Do
you
mean Zach Bryan is a different guy?
Pay respect.
But you also
how on
probably
earth
got
I know that.
You're not that interested in seeing Zach Bryan do anything either, but...
This one was Brown?
Yeah,
this one was Brown.
What if I told you that a Zach was going to be here and do stuff? Is that something that you'd like
Please
to see for 20
me.
Minutes in the middle Please. Of the thing you tuned in for? Yeah.
Please tell me we don't do this when Mr. Beast shows up. Please tell me
we're going to. Oh, yeah.
We're going to. No.
Did you see Mr. Beast's tweet this week?
What did he say?
Yeah, I did.
He was like, oh, such a bummer that, what did he say? Such a
this
bummer
is the,
that the
this
reaction
is the worst
was so
reviewed
bad.
Survivor episode
In
of
history.
All time.
Yeah. And he was like, such a bummer that the fans didn't like it. I hope they love my episode. It's some of my favorite content I've ever filmed.
Uh oh.
And that made me want to bleach my eyeballs.
The saddest thing about this, and it hasn't even been. The fact that during this waste of an episode is when Mike White gets voted off.
Yeah, dude.
Yes, dude.
Makes me so bummed for something. Yeah. I was already so bummed about this episode. I don't get bummed about stuff a lot, you know, but this made me sad. I couldn't talk myself into being like, well, hey, at least we're going to get more people to watch the show. No.
No,
this episode in the middle of this amazing season so far is sort of like getting a slice of delicious key lime pie on a hot summer's day. And there's just a rock in it.
Is this Survivor 50's Last Jedi? Like, is there going to be some people that say this was actually, if it was a standalone, such a great episode of television?
Dude. What is going to happen? I haven't seen this, but what is going
to
happen?
What Ryan Johnson was trying to do with this episode is really good if Disney would have just let him.
People are going to go, nobody complains when there's weird stuff like this on Big Brother. Why do you care on Survivor? It's going to happen.
Because Survivor and the answer is not Survivor's vibe.
Big Brother's campy all the time. That's why nobody cares when it happens
just,
on Big Brother.
It's
stupid
feels like
and campy.
Such a desperate move. Like it reeks of.
And they don't.
We feel like we're not good enough to get people
the
in.
Fact
here.
That, the fact that like Zach Brown got more confessional time than any of the contestants playing this actual
that sucks,
game.
Man.
And
I just love spearfishing. I want to cook up some fish for these guys. They've been out here. I want to remind them what they're fighting for.
And there's
like
no
he's
world.
The troops.
But I
like
care
he's
harder.
Visiting the troops.
He certainly has more confessional time than Tiffany and probably Camilla and.
Dude, Camilla, awesome. Have you seen
Chrissy?
Camilla posted just a zoom in of her as they were announcing Zac Brown, and she looks disgusted.
Oh, yeah.
She does not care about this man.
Oh, no, yeah. I would have been in the same position, dude. They would have come to me for a talking head interview and been like, yeah. What'd you think? And I'd be like, pass, dude. You don't want me on this.
I think something Survivor does really well, because Survivor tries new things all the time, is they do, as much as they have claimed it for this episode, do listen to the fans. And so even so much of their alumni are going to be very open about how this was bad. I do believe after season 50, we will never see anything like this again, if there's any hope to be had.
I hope you're right.
Because I don't think...
I do too.
I don't think the producers CBS. Are going to look at it and be like, I don't know, this did make so much money. I don't think it is.
I can see it happening again if it's CBS as the one being like... We're platforming some of our favorite boys.
Yeah. Well, I have my own theories about why this happened that I'll leave out, but I think I'm worried for the future seasons of the show if this is deemed a success in any way, shape, or form.
We've also had back-to-back strange musical moments on Survivor.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that the worst thing that could happen to me is I'm starving, but I have to listen to a man sing.
I'm starving,
to get
but
my food.
At least Zac Brown is here, and he's going to sing
about
Colder Weather.
Oh my gosh. It felt like the worst is watching people watch him, watching people yes. listen to him.
Watching Joe cry.
And then Joe has never looked so like bug-eyed before as when he's like trying to get people to like, yeah. Isn't this awesome, guys?
It's funny that on this drive,
like watching people watch him and then also watching people react to not getting to go hang out with him just like, it's embarrassing,
if anything,
man.
What this episode did for me is guarantee I'm going to get so many points from my team now from D. Sure. She is so enraged. It's like when Camilla found out Kyle was care flighted out.
This is Tyson getting his wife voted off for D. This is
yes, D this is about to go... She's about to just burn it all up, dude.
I think probably
imagine.
Even if it was Paramore, if it was Dua Lipa, I still would be like, this is not the show, dude. Get them off
you know
of
what?
The screen.
I find myself respecting even more that Billie Eilish hasn't said anything about her. Because I think she's a true fan and she's embarrassed that it's happening so much. Yeah. So she's like, I'm not going to bring any more attention to this dumb thing that I just agreed to do. I thought it would be cool, but they're doing this to death.
Yeah.
I think that if I was on a beach with Dee and she was like really crying about this, I would be like, hey, you need to go take a nap.
Because I think I'd be like, good, she's
what
weak.
What on earth in Zac Brown's music changed your life? And I say that as somebody who used to listen to a lot of Zac Brown. I'll say.
Very interpretive. There's a lot of people
a little bit of
there,
chicken
Gage.
Fried. Hold on.
It's not just
cold
that
beer
song.
On a Friday night. Hold on. A pair of jeans.
No, it's not just right.
Hold on.
That song.
Hold on.
I'll find your favorite band and give you the most ignorant lyrics and we'll judge them based off of that. There's people
out
there.
Yeah, but the difference is that I have listened to Zac Brown Band.
All of it?
Yeah, I listened to quite a bit of Zac Brown Band.
Yes, I have. I knew
this
song.
That's just you, though.
It's just me that is like,
only your
Colder Weather is about a strange
Carter, what are you doing?
I'm just defending D. I don't know why you're coming after my team right now.
I just think that it made me lose a little bit of respect for D.
Well, I bet there's listeners that love him too, and now they're gone. But whatever. You know, it's your opinion.
This is such a classic Jeff Probst rap supporter thing to say, dude. Honestly.
It would be so wild if somebody was like, hey, in the Discord, hey guys, I used to love this podcast. But where I draw the line is Zac Brown criticism.
You were mean about Zac Brown, man.
D's never
I listened
listen,
to Colder Weather
that.
And I thought about a divorce that I might have in the future.
Yep. Oh man.
Mike's gone. No, it's sad.
It is really sad.
I think there's still time for White Lotus season 4 to absolutely poo-poo on Zac Brown somehow. And I think
would
that's
love
really
it.
Funny.
It would make me really happy.
I think that's really funny.
It might be good news for Mike White that people won't be re-watching the episode that he left.
That's so true, dude.
Yeah, that's fair. It was a tough moment all around. Like, I think that Christian clocked the threat appropriately. Mm-hmm. Mike is a huge threat. We mm-hmm. talked about Ceree a few weeks ago, how it's like the deeper you let Ceree sink her hooks into everybody, the harder it's going to be to beat her. Mike's mm-hmm. the same way. Mike has a very similar game.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, Christian was incorrect in assessing Mike as the biggest threat to his personal game.
At that moment.
At this point in yeah. time. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
It's yep. Emily. Emily should
I saw a deal that apparently they still haven't, they haven't spoken since this tribal council, which is a huge bummer.
Mike and Christian?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure Mike's strange. Probably busy.
No, I can't think of anything he'd be doing.
yeah. Emily would have been the right call to send home. I do just want to say, I feel like I've started to formulate a coach-based metaphor for Ceree, which is that I think she is the dragon. I do think she sort of like sleeps and gathers strength early on in the game and then
yeah.
awakens around the merge to come out and just roast everybody with superheated fire.
Yeah.
King Ceree.
Yeah, King Ceree. That's all I've got to say about this week's Survivor. I hated this episode.
That's so. All I'm going to say. Yeah, it was a bummer.
Stinky.
Worst episode I've ever seen.
I think the feelings that Christian was feeling when Mike brought up Gabby is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Because like it feels like an almost like Hollywood thing to do to bring up Gabby. And I think Mike is right that is what Christian was feeling. Mm-hmm. But I think the way that he brought it up was really personal to Christian.
Well, Christian and Gabby are still friends. I think that was his biggest mistake is that he basically tried to weaponize somebody he's really friends with to like get under his skin. I think that was really the only mistake there because I do think
it was the right read. And I think I can't tell if it was manipulative. If I do this, then it's going to feel, this is like my leverage over Christian.
Yeah,
genuine like, hey man, I don't know if you noticed this, but you're doing it again. As a friend, I think I need you to know this.
This is editing, but the confessional immediately after, Mike does literally say, I'm trying to manipulate Christian to do what I want.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Sure.
That's fair. To end today's episode, I'd like for each of us to give our name and what artist you'd like to show up if you were on the beach and what food you'd like them to bring for you.
I was hoping you would ask this. I've been thinking about this since Wednesday.
For Two Chunks and a Hunk, I'm Jordan. And I do think, I was going to say something silly, but I think I would like Haley Williams to bring me Taco Bell.
Such a marker of a season.
Man, that would really mess up the island's ecology.
Plumbing.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'm Doge. Believe it or not, 74-year-old John Cougar Mellencamp is coming to the beach.
Hey,
he's bringing melons. Chili dogs.
He's bringing melons to camp.
He's
bringing chili dogs. Sucking on chili dog outside chili Tasty dog. Freeze.
Yeah, that's great.
I love that.
You got it, Carter.
I'm Carter.
You can do it. We believe you. We believe you can.
I'm Carter. And it's too hard of a question, so I'm going to make it silly. And I'm actually going to have Dame Julie Andrews show up.
Sure.
Yeah.
Spoonful of sugar.
A spoonful of sugar.
Yeah.
Just a 10-pound sack of sugar.
My joke answer was going to be Harry Styles with watermelon sugar.
I mean, come on.
To get high.
I'm Gage, and it has to be the Lonely Island, and they're bringing me like a sushi. San Francisco, California-style burrito.
Sure. Mm.
Yeah.
I think if it's a guest,
they have Michael
Bolton
as well.
Yeah, silly one.
And Michael Bolton. And they come in on a pirate ship, and they're dressed like of Jack course. Sparrow.
Yeah.
And they just throw raw octopus.
That's what it needed to be an enjoyable episode, is something really silly. It didn't
Yes.
be ridiculous.
Took
itself toes. So seriously.
Zach Brown's out here crying
about
water.
It was not
about
Survivor
water.
Anymore. It wasn't about Survivor anymore.
We might as well cut to Avatar Way of Water in the middle
of
there.
Oof.
You think James Cameron watched this episode and was like, I have ideas for Avatar
for
4 now.
And it's Zach Brown making a cameo on Avatar.
I like to just catch some big fish for Jake Sully, remind him what he's out here fighting for.
When maintaining your daily wellness rituals is important to you, the change in routine during the summer can feel daunting. Kachava's new travel packs help you stick to your daily ritual, even when you're on the go. Just one packet of Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake provides complete nutrition with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and much more. So you'll be fueled and ready for wherever life or your summer adventures take you. No fillers, no nonsense, just the good stuff your body craves. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. But you can try it for yourself because the Variety Pack includes all 6 delicious fan favorites: chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry. So instead of worrying about sticking to your daily ritual, simplify it with Kachava. Go to kachava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.